The following Dharma talk was given by Ron Hogan Green. Hogan Sensei is a lay teacher in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org.
Thanks for listening.
Good afternoon to you, to all those joining us on One Continuous Thread. I'm going to speak today to Kuinyan's Come Closer from the 300 Koan Shobo Genzo, case number 10. And these are a series of 300 koans that Daido Roshi and Kaz Ta-Nehisi drew from the Shobo Genzo and some associated works by Dogen. Pointed out the koan, and Daido Roshi wrote a commentary and a capping verse to help us. So once a monastic asked Kuinyan, a great master, what is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? Kuinyan said, it's just like this. The monastic asked further, what do you have to teach these days? Kuinyan said, come closer. The monastic moved closer. Kuinyan said, keep this in mind. Daido Roshi's commentary. The great way has no side roads. Those who walk it have all settled the true imperative. The truth is not in seeing or hearing, nor can it be found in words or ideas. When you have passed through the forest of brambles and have untied the chains of Buddha and Dharma, only then will you have entered the peaceful dwelling. In bringing it out for this monastic, Kuinyan is still dripping with water and covered in mud. But alas, the monastic could not get it. How awkward. Be that as it may, if you yourself can see into Kuinyan's truth and see that the nature of coming and going is not a matter of understanding, then his compassionate efforts will never have been in vain after all. Daido Roshi's capping verse. The bright shining sun lights up the sky. The pure whispering wind covers the earth. What stands between us and awakening? What are we awakening to? As many masters have pointed out, we're awakening to who we truly are, our true nature, fundamentally. And the emphasis is on awakening because, and again, I always say there are different ways to understand this, but there is awakening. The emphasis is on it because that's what addresses suffering. And as human beings, as a human being, without practice, we have suffering. As a human being with practice and realization, we have suffering. But as a practitioner who has seen into the fundamental nature, we have seen the truth of no suffering. So where do these two things meet? Our humanness, which suffers, and someone who is doing their best to wake up and address being our true self and seeing the emptiness of suffering. Where does that meet? It meets right here in your life. Those two sides are one side. Carl Jung said, the most terrifying thing is to accept oneself fully. That is as Zen a quote as you can get. To hold all of you as the Buddha, which means to hold everyone as the Buddha. This is so interesting to me because it's been said in other words. Dogen said, in effect, not one of us fails to cover the ground we stand on, which echoes the Buddha's realization that from the beginning, we are all Buddhas, whole and complete. And so the most terrifying thing is to accept this, to accept oneself, all selves, completely. Which doesn't mean give up judgment and assessment of what is helpful and good for ourselves and others, and what is evil. But it starts from accepting the whole package, all of it, not just you, all of it. We continuously mistake our frames of reference for reality itself. Our ideas about reality, about me and you, become the frames of our reference. And we live out of that, and project out of that, and believe in it. Even though intellectually we may know some limitations of that belief, we live out of that. The tendency is, at least. And simply because we're removed, we're at a distance from what is fundamentally true, and kept apart by this bubble that we've created of ourself and our self-concern, we live inherently out of a mistaken understanding of what this world is and who I am. It's a given when we buy into that. And we all come here buying into that. This dukkha, this distance we are removed from what is true and real by this bubble of me, tends to take us into a life that is mistaken in a fundamental way. Who I am, who you are, what each thing is. And so, by seeing deeply into our true identity, our original face, we can see into all beings' true identity. In this practice, we all face the terror of seeing through the imposed safeguards of a constructed self that we have worked so hard to build. That self both protects us, at least at one time it did, and at the same time locks us into a prison of our own making. And the prison has a lot of aspects to it. Some of us use our intellect. Some of us use our fear, our stories that we make up that seem so real and true. And every time we say them, they go even deeper into us and seem even truer. My son asked me to basically write a book of my life to share with his with our grandchildren. I hear my wife is writing one also. And it's something online that he signed up for, and it asks questions. There's an infinite number of questions, and he checks off the ones that he wants me to write an essay on. And one or two of them, the question was very direct, from my perspective, of what is the most important thing in your life, da-da-da-da-da. And I answered one line, and he came back to me. He was so mad. He was so angry. He says, this is not Zen practice. This is for your grandchildren to know who you are when you're gone. So, luckily you can rewrite the essay. But at the same time, as I'm thinking about this and going back into my stories, there are my stories. I'm writing them again. They're so familiar. Ayo and I, she's 17, I'm 18, listening to Suzanne Leonard Cohen on the album, Falling in Love, and all that that implies. And one of the questions is, what song brings you back a specific memory? Those were the days, my friend, I thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. Maybe some of you can remember that in the late 60s. That was a lie for me. Anyway, those are my stories. So I'm writing them again and cementing them in again, from now for my grandchildren as well as for me. But this practice invites us to see with a true Dharma eye, to live with a true Dharma eye. And yes, I need to respond to that request of my son, but not to fool myself. So where does this famous question of why did Bodhidharma come from the West? What does that have to do with anything? Bodhidharma, 5th or so century. Brought Zazen from India, the West, to China, the East. So there's a whole historical record there. And in the 1980s, I and my teacher at the time and some fellow students went to Bodhidharma's cave, and I've told that story a number of times before it was touristized. And you could see, you could feel, this happened there. But the power of that question, why did he come from the West, lies in the fact that it's not asked from an historical point of view, but from a personal point of view. How personal? What are you doing here? Why did you come here? Why did you travel, whether you're a monastic and live here or live elsewhere, to come here? Some of you from great distances, equivalent to India to China or further. What are you doing here? That why did you travel to come here, is the entry point. Why? Always another why, isn't there? Is any answer a final answer to why? Why do I say that? What's the final answer? Where in your Zazen is a finality? I would hope we do not approach Zazen with a sense, well, now I've done that once, or I've done Sesshin once, I know what it is, I'm done. Is that the answer to why? Zazen doesn't seem to offer much. It doesn't speak to hope, to the repair of our problems, or fixes for our challenges. We just sit here, facing ourselves. And at some level, in doing that and being willing to do it, past once or twice perhaps, we're acknowledging that from the beginning we're whole and complete. The answer to why is here, as this life. But what is this life? Who are you? And incredibly, within this practice, something happens that we cannot define, that we cannot truly know, yet something very close, so close it's hard to appreciate, is being revealed, not to us, but as us. We are being revealed. This question, why did Bodhidharma come from the West? Why are you here? Is meant to encourage us to go beyond intellection, to go beyond reasoning, to go beyond figuring it out, and see directly into our original face. See it directly. So directly, we can't even know that we're seeing it. We just are it. The why becomes an ongoing open question that we sit with, holding it up to the light of our being, as our being. It's not separate from that light. That light is our being. The questioning, not an answer, but the questioning, takes us straight into a very grounded being, directly questioning. Inquiring as to why did Bodhidharma come from the West is just one of a number of fundamental inquiries. Mu, who am I? What is my life? Why is there so much suffering? When there is only that question, no other thing, then we are living within the true reality, the full reality of our being. Thus Dogen says in the Genjo Koan, pointing to this. It's been said several times during the Sangha, which says something about this quote. Seeing forms with the whole body and mind, hearing sounds with the whole body and mind, sitting zazen with the whole body and mind, inquiring into a question with the whole body and mind, one understands them intimately. Yet it is not like a mirror with reflections, nor like water under the moon. When one side is realized, the other side is dark. It's interesting, it just occurred to me, it doesn't say when one side is seen, the other side is dark. There's a subtle difference there. When one side is realized, fully realized, deeply realized, when we enter Mu, or our breath, or why did Bodhidharma come from the West, or just sitting, with a whole body and mind, one understands this intimately. This, you, this, you, intimately. It is realized as your very body and mind. Everything else is dark. Why? Why is everything else dark? There is no other side. There isn't. It's the whole thing. And in the direct realization of the absolute, of this, our understanding of the relative, of you and I, and all of this, changes. This is just as it is. You and I are just as we are, whole and complete from the beginning. Nothing is left out of that realization. Nothing. Given your inherent Buddha nature, why is it necessary for you personally? I mean, you're hearing the answers. Dogen's telling you the answers. Why is it necessary for you personally to realize this? Maizumi Roshi, in his commentary in the Genjo Koan, says, to realize our true self is the major aim of our practice. And in our practice, we can sometimes overlook the significance of Maizumi's pointing because of our preoccupation with our pain and fixing our pain, avoiding our pain, going to sleep with our pain. I don't want to deal with my pain. Or the substitution of something, using the energy of something, perhaps anything, to distract ourselves from these questions. I think that happens commonly, that we get seduced by energy, by some action in our mind or body-mind, that we don't have to look. Each of us, consciously or subconsciously, has a fundamental life question that brings us here. Here is not just a physical place, monastery or at home. The question is far more subtle, far more karmically potent, and far more impactful on your life if you take it up than a given location. It transcends location. You want proof? You can practice no matter where you are. It's irrelevant where you are, fundamentally. And it makes a difference where you put yourself. Both those things are true. Sitting zazen, digging deep into your question, keeping the question before you, even as you go deep within your breath, has a powerful effect on your life. And this affects not only you, but those around you. And that effect, in my experience, is usually more significant than I realize, more impactful. One gets hints as one practices, how much one influences others, how many ripples one creates. Not all the ripples are received positively, but it sure does create ripples. Even if they don't know you practice, just in how you behave, just in taking up the morality of this practice, just as sitting regularly and encountering yourself, on a daily basis? Keeping this question before you as you go about your moment-to-moment activities offers us a foundation. So many times when people come into residency, at the end of their residency, they feel lost. I'm not going to have this to hold me. But you do. You've got a question, don't you? You do. That holds you. This koan, like all questions, like all koans, is a meditative inquiry. An inquiry into a practice does not have to come forth as a formal koan, but come forth it must if you are to realize your profound nature. A master of old said, "Zazen without the energy of a question is like wandering across a vast plain without sight." You're wandering, but you're blind. And then they added, "A spiritual question without Zazen is like climbing a sheer cliff without arms." Interesting thought. A spiritual question without Zazen. This is addressing the intellectual study of Zen, right? That we all come here well equipped with. Oh, you know, I understand. I think I understand. I've read a book. I'm sitting a little. I got it. Your question may not be clear to you at first, but as we sit, we begin to encounter our true self unknowingly. There's no way to know that, but we are encountering. We're going deeper and deeper as we practice within ourself. And what we're encountering is not a thing apart or separate, but as all of us, as ourself and all of us, and all phenomena, deeply entwined, deeply entwined together. Our karma begins to reveal to us what we are not seeing, what we are not feeling, what we are not doing, and then thus shows us where we can enter our life wholeheartedly. It shows us that. That's what practice does. That's why practice is endless, right? No matter how deep you go, how realized you may by the system be defined, our practice shows us where we're missing something. So once a monastic asked Kuan-Yin, "What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West?" Kuan-Yin said, it's just like this." What is the master saying? What is this? It's just like this. If you say it's right here, this, what about over there? If you're silent, you're wandering over a vast plain without sight. How would you respond to the master to show you have seen into the question? What is the meaning of you coming here? It is just this. What is this? The monastic asked further, in parenthesis, "Oh, in that case, what do you have to teach these days?" Daito Roshi, commenting on this, says, "This monastic is not very alert. Hello, is there anyone at home?" The monastic continues obliviously, "What do you have to teach these days?" That's interesting, given that when a Dharma question is asked, the question is always answered. Always. It's that simple. That's the challenge we all face as Zen students, to see past our mind's movement, our accustomed way of thinking and being, to encounter something directly that's being offered. The teacher's been asked answering the questions. So Kuan Yin responds, "Come closer." Dato Roshi comments, "He's so kind. A smack on the side of the head would do as well." "Why? Is that intended to be punishment? Or does a smack on the side of the head actually answer the monastic's question? And if so, how does it answer it?" The monastic moved closer, and Dato Roshi commented, "Can you beat that? He understood. He's being a little..." How did the monastic understand that? How do you understand? Come closer. Dogen says, to carry the self forward and realize the 10,000 things is delusion. How do you move closer without carrying the self forward? That's what we're investigating here. You could say, all of Zen practice is in come closer. This is the heart of our practice, of Zazen, of liturgy, of creativity, of a morality, of our life. Come closer. How close? What separates us? You are there, I'm here. Is that the whole picture? If it is, that accounts for this world, doesn't it? There's as much suffering now as there's always been. There's just more of us. Because we have so much useless stuff in our minds, it's hard and accustomed that we're accustomed to, that we think is ourself. It's hard to see beyond our sense of separateness. And it's hard to see beyond our sense of a solid, permanent me. How can we get closer? And even though we're right in the midst of all of this, it can be hard to appreciate being with and of one another. With and of one another. With when that helps, of when that helps. To go beyond our sense of an isolated me, to go beyond a world of isolated things, is to be intimate with each other and with all of the circumstances of our life. Do you want to be intimate with all the circumstances of your life? A lot of circumstances we encounter. Some are fine, some are not so fine. Some hurt, some don't. Some we just ignore. This is a practice of cultivating stillness. Not stillness opposed to activity, but stillness in the midst of all circumstances. We are always in the midst of change and permanence. But when the mind is settled, we can appreciate that our true nature does not move, no matter what the circumstances are. Your encouragement, and an encouragement in the Zendo today or yesterday, Shugen Roshi spoke of serenity. Serenity, equanimity, it's a deep encounter with our true self, which does not move in the midst of movement. And even when we see each other or any other clearly, this is nothing to be moved by, nor is it the complete appearance of what we're seeing. And Dogen says, even when others appear to us as the realm of practice of the way, the realm of the Buddhas, their reality is more than this, more than we can appreciate at the time. Each of these appearances is the particular objective and subjective result of past karma. We're all here because of that. They are not the karma of the way of the Buddhas and ancestors, but narrow, one-sided views. So we have to continue to practice and look. There's no stopping point. There's no edge to your breath. There's no edge to an investigation of the koan. It's so interesting to, when people present the koan to me, that I did sometimes multiple times, and thought I understood. And I listen to the koan, perhaps I study it, and I see things I didn't see before. How could I miss that? And I know that if I do it again later, there'll be things I didn't see before. The Buddha said, all things are ultimately liberated. They have no abode. My practice has no abode. Your practice has no abode. But it is liberated. What does no abode mean? Dogen said, we should realize that although they are liberated without any bonds, all things are abiding in their own particular state. All things are just as they are. You and I, just as we are. Can you buy that? Can you believe in it? Can you trust in it? Can you have faith in it as you sit? That you're whole and complete from the beginning? And having a depth of faith in that, it doesn't matter what obstacles come before you. They will be there, but it doesn't matter. Karmically, they must be there, but it doesn't matter. So Kuan Yin said, keep this in mind. Remember this. Nerdo says, this instruction may be difficult for this monastic. I mean, so often we receive a direction and do not understand. Do we realize that that direction from our teachers, from the masters of past, is an entry point? We can take it up. And there are many ways to take it up. How we take it up, how we sit with it, how we question it, determines how deeply we see into ourselves and each other. How deeply we see into who we fundamentally are. The commentary. The great way has no side roads. Those who walk it have all settled the true imperative. The truth is not in seeing or hearing, nor can it be found in words and ideas. When you have passed through the forest of brambles and have untied the chains of Buddha and Dharma, catch that, untied the chains of Buddha and Dharma, only then will you have entered the peaceful dwelling. And you know what peaceful dwelling means, right? No side roads. It's always right before you. If you cannot see the great way, come closer. Come closer.
Thanks so much for listening. For meditation supplies such as cushions, incense, liturgical instruments, Dharma books, and more, visit monasterystore.org. Support for your spiritual practice at home.